Michael, how is Julian Assange faring these days, and what's the status of his case?
Well, he's still in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. The three-year anniversary will be June of 2015 this year, but he's been under a custody order from the Swedish courts since 2000. He's been under a custody order from the Swedish courts since late in 2010. He's doing fine in the embassy. What he told me the other day was that there's some 8 million documents now on the WikiLeaks website in a highly searchable form. So that's an incredible accomplishment. And his main interest really is in keeping WikiLeaks going and not having to worry about all the legal swirl around him. He's trying to focus on that more, keeping WikiLeaks going, than on what all of us lawyers are doing to try and get him out of there and get him safe passage to Ecuador.
Now, Michael, I read recently that some of the staff members at WikiLeaks are being monitored. Is there an active government campaign to sort of intimidate and harass those persons?
Yes. Finally disclosed to us about a month or two ago, which I think I spoke about on the show, were the fact that three search warrants had been issued for all the emails on Google of three WikiLeaks associates or people who work with WikiLeaks: Sarah Harrison, Kristen Harrofson, and Joseph Farrell. One of the interesting things about those subpoenas, and of course all the material has been turned over to the government, is it, we believe, includes attorney-client material. Because, for example, myself and others were involved in talking to those people as our clients over those years. And so what really happened is Google turned over not just the materials from WikiLeaks employees, but also from all their attorney-client relationships. I'm not blaming Google particularly for that, but the government in particular, of course, now has probably hundreds of our attorney-client emails. We'll give you updates on that as we continue to go along. There's been no decision about what to do about that yet. The main thing that happened in the last day or so since I visited Julian is some developments in his court case. A few months ago, maybe more, he brought a case in Sweden to try and say, look, nothing's happened in my case. I've been sitting in the embassy for 3 years almost. The prosecutor's never come to question me at the embassy. There's only allegations against me. I've never been indicted. You can't just keep a case going forever while you keep me in custody, essentially, in the embassy. If I leave the embassy, I get arrested and go, and I'm forced to go to Sweden. And by doing that, forego my right of asylum, which is my right to go to Ecuador. So he brought a case in Sweden, and he lost through the most of the courts. And now it's in the Supreme Court of Sweden. And just last week, the Supreme Court of Sweden issued an order saying that the prosecutor had to respond to two of our allegations in those legal papers. One is, what is causing the delay in the investigatory procedure? Because a lower court had said that the prosecutor is not carrying out her duty to continue this case. But they said there's no consequences from that, which is hard to believe. So the Supreme Court is looking at that again. And the second thing they asked about is something not familiar to Americans so much, but is the issue of proportionality. There's a point at which, under Swedish and European law, if the consequences of what's happening to you outweighs, from a proportional point of view, the state can't continue what it's doing. And so the court also asks the prosecutor to discuss, why is this proportional, what you're doing? He's been in custody now almost 3 years at the embassy, or in detention, rather, and yet you haven't moved the case forward at all. Now, isn't that disproportional to keep him in detention for 3 years and not move the case at all? So I'm not saying anything's going to happen with the Swedish Supreme Court. They have an incredibly conservative legal system in Sweden. But what is being set up, and what was set up in an incredible set of legal papers filed in Sweden, is a case that can go to the European Court of Human Rights on the fact that Julian Assange is being arbitrarily detained and that the investigation is not proceeding.
And how quickly would it move if it went to the European Court of Human Rights? Would that stagnate for another year or two? Or
it could move relatively quickly on some of the issues. For example, on interim measures, it could move to say that the UK and Sweden are required to give Julian Assange access to a hospital if he needs to leave the embassy and come back without being arrested, or access to the roof for sunshine, because right now he has less sunshine than the minimal standards of the United Nations, which is less than what you're supposed to get, at least an hour a day of exercise outside. and he gets none.
And that applies to detainees universally. What happens if he needs a doctor? Does someone come and visit him now?
Right now, a doctor can come in, but if there's an emergency and he has to go to a hospital, the UK has not given him a guarantee of safe passage back and forth, which is a violation of his asylum. It's also a violation of his human rights. But I would say I'm cautiously optimistic about this latest development in Sweden, and I'm perhaps more than cautiously optimistic about what might happen in the European Court of Human Rights, which is where this case will ultimately wind up.
How are his spirits?
Julian's in good spirits. I mean, I think the fact that WikiLeaks has been so successful over the last period is very important to him, in fact, the most important, and he understands he has a long struggle. Now, I should say another development, I meant to mention this, another development that happened while I was gone these last 10 days was there was an opinion in a Freedom of Information Act case with regard to WikiLeaks. An organization we've interviewed on this show, EPIC, had filed a FOIA case to find out what the U.S. government is doing with regard to surveilling WikiLeaks supporters. The federal district court judge denied EPIC's request and wrote an opinion that's quite astonishing because to the extent that people have said, oh, Julian Assange is just in that embassy because he doesn't want to go to Sweden, this actually points out that he's in that embassy because of what's going to happen to him in the United States. And so the court says we're denying this request under what's called a continuing investigation exemption. There's a continuing investigation of WikiLeaks. The judge said it's a multi-subject investigation of WikiLeaks that has been an enduring investigation going on for a number of years. It does not have to do with the Manning investigation. In other words, Chelsea Manning is the one who allegedly gave the documents to WikiLeaks. And of course, Chelsea has been prosecuted and is serving 35 years in a military prison. But what's interesting is this federal court judge is saying there's this investigation, it's continuing, it's enduring, it's multi-subject, and it does not have to do with Chelsea Manning, which means all of the so-quote naysayers who said Julian Assange is just there because of Sweden, etc., are just dead wrong. Julian Assange is there because the threat of persecution hangs over his head in the United States. And even once Sweden is dealt with, which I think it will be at some period in the foreseeable future, we still are faced with the United States. And that question will be, will the UK honor Julian's right of asylum that he's been given by Ecuador and let him exercise that right by going to Ecuador? In the end, the sword of Damocles is the United States.